Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Our guest today, Dr. Ilan Kaplan, is the CEO and founder of Cytegic, which is a combination of cyber and strategic. So welcome today, Dr. Kaplan. How are you?
Thank you very much. How are you, Chris?
Not bad. So you are in Tel Aviv, correct?
Yes, this is where our R&D center is, and we have our business front in New York City as well.
Okay. Yeah, we hear so much about Israel and Tel Aviv. We had Manny Barzilay on at the Cyber Symposium event. He spoke, just an amazing speaker. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Manny, but a great guy.
Yeah, I think that we have a very vibrant community here in Tel Aviv. Naturally, coming from some of the business and as well as the military background that we have around here, and rather intensive and a bit competitive, if you ask me, the cybersecurity arena here.
Oh, yeah? So getting very competitive. I just know you have a great ecosystem, and I've seen all the different companies out there. So it's getting competitive. That's an interesting insight as well.
Yes. I think that if you're looking at the way these startups emerge, they start with identifying pain points and then trying to put these pain points from a variety of technology perspective. And this is a natural evolution where the best and the fittest and the fastest are growing. But if you have a community of about 700 startups, you will end up with only the best and brightest moving forward.
Yeah, I'd imagine there's going to be a big merger time too, where all these kind of applications and startups come together, or at least the ones that synergize.
Yes, definitely, and I can already begin to see it coming.
See it? Yeah, all right. So give us your background and how you got to where you're at with Cytegic, maybe what the pain points are that you've put together that you're solving here.
Thank you. I think that the uniqueness of first my team background and the challenge that we are tackling puts us in a very unique position because we are focused on cyber risk management. We are not another cybersecurity company. And in that respect, we see the cybersecurity world not as purely a technological issue, but it is a financial issue. It's a business issue. But more than anything else, it is a management issue. And at the end of the day, the CISO needs to talk to decision makers like the CFO and the risk committee of the board and other stakeholders in the organization. And if he's going to talk about his 6 terabytes of data in the SIEM, it's not going to cut it. He needs to translate his world into their world as well. So it's all about reducing risk, cost, and effort.
Yeah, and I think your background, you're a management professor. Is that what you had told me earlier?
Yes, I'm coming from a combination of management teaching and running a strategic consulting firm for many years, working with any size and shape of organization. Some of my team are coming from military intelligence background, military cyber warfare, and also other consulting firms. So it's a variety of very unique perspectives, and it enabled us to put some very interesting, I dare to say, technology in work, like big data analytics, semantic engine, AI components, in order to translate the complexity of our world into action and decision processes in real time.
Yeah, and probably also making a platform like that maybe takes out some of that human aspect where you have a difference in personality sometimes between the technical guys and the business people, and they have a hard time speaking the same language. The technical guys get so detailed, and the business people look at them like, what's that mean to me? So you're making a platform that kind of helps that almost divide in personality as well.
So correct. And if you take it one step further, like one of our customers, one of the biggest consulting firms in the world, in their assessment, we changed the proportion of effort from 80% collection of data and 20% analysis in order to deliver value to their customers to 20% collection, heavy lifting of all the initial analysis done automatically. So 80% is now on generating the human added value, the decision processes, the coaching to the customers where they can put their cyber defense door, where can they make the cost performance alternatives like in insurance and so on. So this is the way I believe we need to move. It's like in BI in other fields. It's no longer to fly the company by the seat of the pants. Mm-hmm. We need to do data-driven decision processes, and this is exactly what we do.
Interesting. Well, let's take a break real quick or hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back talking to Dr. Ilan Kaplan.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
So welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're talking to Dr. Ilan Kaplan, the CEO and founder of Strategic Cyber and Strategic. And
yes, it's a selection process. If you can pronounce the name correctly, you got the extra point.
Strategic. I'll keep practicing here. But interesting platform, interesting way of looking at cyber to kind of bridge the management and the technical pieces by sampling, I guess, a lot of data points in the business. Let me understand a little bit about your sampling method, where you're collecting data from that you're then presenting for risk management.
Okay, let's put together the basic components that generate the risk. We have actually two worlds that we need to look at. One is the external world, the behavior of the attackers, their motivation, the assets that they want to address, the malicious intent they have for each and every asset, and the attack methods that they are deploying. So to understand how they behave around the world on geopolitical regions, business sectors, and so on, this is one source of data that we must quantify, because otherwise you're bombarded with PDFs and data points and 30 million feeds of events, and what does it matter to me? And I'm a mid-sized bank in the Midwest. What do I need to do with events that happen to critical infrastructure in India? This is how we need to quantify one source. The other one is, of course, the maturity of my controls. And we are looking today at 50 categories of controls. You know, the infrastructure, prevent, detective. Of course, people, process, technologies. But the big thing there is, how do I validate? Not just to ask people to what extent you like your firewall, your WAF or NAC or anything. How do I put in rapid technology analysis of the validity of my assessment? And after I did both quantification, which is technically driven, automatically computed, threat landscape and security posture, only then I can correlate them against the business assets of the organization. By doing this correlation with some AI components, I can derive not only the risk profile, but also, and I must have the financial impact associated with that level of risk. So this is the process that the cyber risk officer is faced with. But as some of my best friends tell me, I'm faced with a mountain and a teaspoon to remove it. Mm-hmm. So we changed the teaspoon into a big D9 that can really move mountains.
Okay, so I heard two, kind of an external data source, which is kind of like a threat intelligence collection, I guess, from different ISACs or ISALs or US CERT or something, and then an internal where you're monitoring, I guess, SIM type of inputs across the enterprise. Is that correct?
Actually, when looking at the internal part, we are doing a small, different approach. We are looking only at very, I'd call it samples of data, like the indicators of maturity that we gather from configuration files, like from the GPO of the Active Directory, we derive about 130 indicators of maturity. Mm-hmm. And the same we do with Symantec, McAfee, Checkpoint, Palo Alto, and so on and so forth, endpoint hardening, server hardening. So by rapidly analyzing these configuration files, we're able to generate an exact map matching the 500 data points of analysis that we're doing manually. So having both ends, the manual and the automated input, gathering on real time, and it's really fast process. This is one element internally. Externally, we're looking at any source of data in 10 different languages. It could be in any format like RSS, tweet, JSON, free text in, I don't know, Russian, Chinese, Arabic, Farsi, all European languages, and so on and so forth. So using this combination of multiple interfaces and APIs, big data analytics, and our proprietary semantic engine, enables us to quantify all these sources. They could be open source, they could be third party. In some cases, we're talking to governments who provide us covert information, or they're buying this technology to analyze it in-house. Mm-hmm. So this end-to-end process that is, of course, covered by three already granted patents is quantifying and automating the entire process, streamlining it. So you are working with a really sexy dashboard. Mm-hmm. Moreover, you're working with a simulator that enables you to ask questions like, well, if I'm going to invest in my, I don't know, SIM or to change my WAF, to what extent will it move the needle? Mm-hmm. And it's already prioritizing. So what should be the best bet as to next stage of remediation plan?
Okay.
And this is where you can also negotiate with your insurer. Yes.
Okay. Do you take data from your garnishing from inside a company to add to your global analysis for, you know, multiple companies? Do you use kind of the company's information from and logs from one company or from all the companies collectively in your engine?
Data from a company. We are enabling companies running on our cloud platform to benefit from benchmarks. Exactly. And actually, for MSSPs and big players, they can do it on their own. So the whole idea is we are never taking any information out. We are only providing internally in. We are enabling analysis. And if you are registered to our cloud platform, you benefit from an ever-changing reference point. And this is where I believe the entire industry needs to move. We need to start sharing not where exactly I am and what are the rules in my in my firewall, but security posture in general, and certainly what is the acceptable level of risk. These are critical points that need to be shared, and I hope we'll move in that direction as well.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear that you're looking at the paradigm of not using one company's data in a big pool for everybody, and having that that extra place that information could be compromised. Let's put it that way.
Of course not. We are never positioning ourselves in any way that is not totally sanitized data, anonymized, and then you can benefit from anything. We are never taking anything out of the company with any compromise of security or any credentials.
All right. Well, let's take a break real quick again, hear from our sponsors. We will be back in a minute to talk to Dr. Ilan Kaplan.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
So welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. We're speaking with Dr. Ilan Kaplan, the CEO of Cytegic. Got it right this time. We talked about visibility data, your feeds, where you're getting things. I want to step back a little bit and kind of get your take on the top three things that you see as the major problems in cyber, or that you're addressing with your efforts that companies are facing today.
Sure, I think that we need to start with the money. And the biggest issue there is to optimize our security cost and security planning. We are not in a world where we even can imagine to have all the budget that we want, mm-hmm. and we need to answer a lot of tough questions. And there is a must for every CISO to be able to talk to non-technical people, translate investment into dollars and cents and inputs. This is one challenge that I can elaborate how to address it. The other one, which is taking more and more weight for all of us, is the abundance of standards and regulations. If we just look at the outside world, outside of the United States, there is a revolution of the GDPR. Mm-hmm. And every company in Europe must comply with it. It is not exactly security, it's privacy. Security is just one component of it. But to be faced today with the NIST 853 and the NIST CSF and the HIPAA and the PCI DSS and all of, we are spending days and tons of money on working for the standards instead of the standards to work for us. And the translation between them is an absolute must, of course, for internal and external auditing. And the third challenge, if we're looking at one of the biggest risks any mid to large company is faced with, is the issue of the third party risk. We're inheriting risk from everybody that we work with, and I don't need to mention examples like Target or the latest event where the F-35 plans were stolen from an Australian vendor of the industry. We know what we are faced with. If we are looking at large corporates, they are working with thousands of external parties. How do I get the clear picture of the third-party risk assessment, not guessing, but validating the picture that I get from them, translating it into the acceptable risk level, and managing the entire ecosystem. In my mind, this is one of the biggest challenges that we are faced today, and it will get more and more weight in the near future.
You know, I wonder how much that the third-party risk and the second one you mentioned, the standards, I mean, they seem so related. It's like if you can say that your third parties follow or meet or in compliance with the standards that they should be, then we should be able to not really worry about the third-party problem or just use it as the standards problem. Thoughts on that?
This is exactly the challenge. Let's take it one step at a time. When we're talking about regulation and compliance, we tackle this challenge by creating a common denominator database of 500 data points that cover 80% of all the standards in the world that we checked, and we looked around and we covered all of them in a way that in a flick of a button, you move from one standard to another. So I'm dare to say that the standards and compliance and auditing process using the automated cyber risk officer is almost a done deal. But all I've got is one part of the equation. This is just security posture. Is it risk? Certainly not. Because the profile of attacks that are on one aircon vendor or a tire manufacturer is very different from someone who is working in, I don't know, financial services. So who are the attackers? What is the security posture that you need to be prepared with against those attackers? This is the other arm. So only by matching the internal perspective to the external threat landscape, this is where you get the risk. Now I can start analyzing as a hub or the enterprise perspective, what do I inherit from each and every player? And what do I need to demand from them as the minimum level of security posture they need to keep in order to keep with my standards of risk and not just security? Mm-hmm. All of it falls back into the financial issue. Yeah. It must make sense money-wise. Makes sense in prioritization, investment. And this is maybe the triangle that we're talking about.
Yeah, and it seems to really go back to so many organizations spend their entire budget on trying to meet standards, trying to keep up with standards. And then there's not the ability to say, okay, now let's work on some best practices. Do you help mm-hmm. with that kind of balance with what you're doing?
I think that you hit a very important point there. To keep with the standard doesn't help you so much when really things get worse. Because you remember, to be PCI compliant doesn't really help a lot of companies that were at that. Mm-hmm. And so is HIPAA and so are other standards. So it is, in my mind, just the first step. It is something that should help us to look at the world from a different perspective. But now is the hard work. Now is the priorities. Now you need to think, okay, so what do I do to change it? And, you know, the most important part, we tend to be focused on technology, but it's all about people. About 80% of attack vectors begin with social engineering. So where do we put the organizational perspective into play? Mm-hmm. Where do we put the management awareness and how we tie our efforts into the business into play? If we're just going to try and stick to the technology, it will not help us. We need to see the entire perspective. Now, by translating the entire landscape into what, you know, when I walked in a boardroom, I know that I have 3 seconds, 3 colors, and show me the money. That's it. Mm-hmm. They're not going to talk to me about technology. Most of them don't even understand it, but they want to see, can I compare this investment to investment in, I don't know, the bicycle shop. This is where I am faced with. And to provide them with clear understanding, what should I do? For example, M&A. When a company is faced with a decision to buy or not buy another company, they are doing risk analysis of everything, financial, people, technology. But now we need to do a rapid assessment of the risk that I'm going to get by this acquisition. And just recently, one of our companies, they did a very rapid third-party risk assessment of a potential M&A, and they invested more than $200 million on buying a company based on this risk assessment. And the same goes to every decision, like moving CRM to the cloud. It's a purely business decision that need to be matched with the good support of the CISO in decision process. And this is where the technology comes to play, to enable the security people to use the right data for rapid simulation of future behavior based on threat landscape and security posture continuously.
Okay. So if let's take that example. You're walking into a boardroom and they say, show me the money. Tell me what value add in 30 seconds that you're offering to that company in that situation.
The most important thing is focus on the business assets and the business units. Per business asset and per business unit, we can see how much we need to insure and to hedge and how much we need to invest in reducing the risk level into the acceptable level. We talk purely business. We talk purely money. And it enabled one of our customers to renegotiate their insurance. And this is another emerging force, mm-hmm. cyber insurance. And we are able to show the insurer how much their customers need if they are under or overinsured, but also what is the level of good practice that they keep in maintaining acceptable level of risk. And in one case at least, we managed to increase the coverage dramatically, reducing the premium, showing how good that company is managing their security risks.
Okay, so are you able to put some quantifiable risk numbers to this dynamic, or is it all qualitative?
It is quantitative. Everything that we do is translated into numbers. These numbers could be either the level of compliance or the financial impact in dollars and cents associated with the risk profile, catering for the differences between businesses, geographies, business sectors, specific assets, and so on. So you can go all the way down and ask, in my business unit, to what extent the risk for my client's database is translated into numbers that I need to correlate with the cost. And by the way, this is a small secret that I would like to share with you. The correlation between the risk level and the financial impact is nonlinear. If you are above a certain number, it is better to reduce and to invest. If you are below that number, it is more effective to insure, because you're not going to get a lot of bang for the buck. So by introducing this way of approaching the entire decision processes, I'm translating our discussion into what boardrooms are used to see.
Yeah, this sounds like an interesting approach. Wrapping up here, give our listeners a way they can get a hold of you. And I think you had a special offer that you were going to put forth, that have you heard about this on this show. But go ahead and give out the information on how somebody can get a hold of you and engage with you.
The simplest thing is log in to www.cytegic.com or send me a note to elon.kaplan@cytegic.com directly to me and put in the code NCF-ACROM, NCF-Automated Cyber Risk Officer, and you will be granted a free month on our very unique Automated Cyber Risk Officer platform in the cloud for free. So it's one free month of $5,000 a month worth usage. You can run your own assessment, you can get your own security posture analysis and compliance reports. It's going to be fully fledged for the users. We're going to send this code.
All right, and the code again is NCF-ACRO, send that code to Elon, Dr. Kaplan, and or through their web interface to get that that special offer. And you could take a look at it either on your own time or get some support from the company there in the cloud. And we definitely thank you for putting that out on our show. I'm not going to put that out in written form anywhere, just from listening to the show or watching it on the video version. So thanks a lot for joining today, Dr. Kaplan.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for a very exciting conversation with you.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye. The views or opinions expressed during this podcast are not those of Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.